on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, and co-hosting with me, Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation, the Archdiocese of Chicago. Graz, good morning.
Good morning to you, Greg.
How are you, buddy?
Glad it's Friday. I'm not glad it's Friday, because it just brings me one day closer to the end of my sabbatical time, back to work.
Which is about another week and a half?
Week and a half.
And then your sabbatical ends, and you move on.
But see, here I am, doing this because I love it. To be with you, Greg.
Even with a sabbatical, you're taking the time to do radio for the Archdiocese.
To be with you.
It's great to be with you, buddy. Give each other a high five fist right here. And the thing that strikes me is that yesterday, the first full day of fall, how quickly summer went. And at the same time, it was like 90 degrees yesterday for the first day of fall. And now it's more seasonal. And hey, we got the Bears. Monday night against the Packers. In fact, interesting stat I read in the newspaper, the last time the Bears and Packers faced each other, both undefeated, 1962.
Whoa.
Because they were both then 2-0 each.
And who won that game?
Packers.
Oh.
Don't give me, I don't know what the score was, but the fact that Packers won the championship that year.
Okay, so it's our turn now.
So there we go. We better get to our... before our producer
good morning to the, welcome to the morning sports program on Catholic Community
on Relevant Faith. Radio 950 AM. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. And with us by phone, the Catholic Campaign of Human Development director, Ray Flores, joins us, which would have been in studio, but from what I hear from Jim Dish is that
got a
Ray...
offer.
You are not in a gas station, but coming down to work here. Your spark plug wire broke?
Yeah, just something popped under the hood, and the actual spark plug and the little connector just flew out of the piston box. So,
Ray, they don't talk about spark plug wires anymore. What year is your car?
1991.
Are you serious?
What do you drive?
It's a Toyota Corolla, so these things run forever.
Wow.
Well, I've not heard of a spark plug wire in years. I had one on my 67 Mustang when I was a kid, you know, my second car I ever owned. And I wish I still had a
96 van. I thought I had the oldest car of anybody I knew.
1990. Well, Ray...
Now, Ray, be careful. If they take out your battery, make sure they maintain a power source to the car, because that happened to my son-in-law the other night. They took out his battery. They didn't keep a power source to it. When they put the battery back in... computer system completely shot. Oh, that's right. Yours is a 91. There probably isn't a computer
system.
There's
no computer.
Right. No, there were computers back then.
All right, you got nothing to worry about.
Well, Ray, tell us about Justice Day 2010, scheduled for Saturday, October 2nd, which is a week from tomorrow, to be held at Our Lady of Sorrows Basilica. Tell us about Justice Day.
Well, Justice Day is our educational component of the Campaign for Human Development, which will host the 20 organizations that received grants from the Campaign for Human Development collection from last year. And it's a great opportunity for people to learn about the different social justice causes that the church is involved with directly by, you know, putting the contributions of the faithful to work in helping people break the cycle of poverty.
So when you talk about a Justice Day, obviously... the whole question of are we a just society comes up. And tell us a little bit about some of the ways that through your office you address the injustices within society.
Well, the theme this year is Caritas in Veritate, Charity and Truth, the Pope's encyclical. And we're talking about whole integral human development. Two of our featured organizations will be the St. Toribio Romo Immigrant Center, that organizes about 13 parishes across the Little Village and Pilsen neighborhoods on immigrant human dignity issues. And then we have a great program out of St. Agatha Church on the west side, and it's called MOVE, which is an acronym for Mothers Opposed to Violence Everywhere. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they've reduced a lot of the violence in some of the elementary schools in the area. So it creates a better learning environment. These kids can learn better without having to worry about looking over their shoulder who's going to mug them on their way to their next class.
Do you know anything about how they've gone about doing that reduction of violence?
Parent involvement, school patrols, walking school buses where families can, kind of pick up people along the way on a route to school so they're not by themselves. Just involving parents in the school activities more so it's not just a matter of dropping your kid off and letting the teachers and the school take over. It's taking ownership of the whole community.
You know, I think it's that whole area, Ray, has received so much publicity because of all the gang fighting, the murders, and just it blows me away that any child, grammar school, high school, would be fearful walking to school or taking the bus. Where, I mean, it's so sad, going to school or coming home, you're looking over your shoulder. Will you be jumped? Will you be shot? And that has to stop. I mean, that has to stop to make it a safe society for our children as well as the adults. And when did, do you know more specifics about MOVE? You said Mothers
Opposed to Violence Everywhere.
When did that begin? Any idea?
They started last year with their first CCHD grant. There's also been SAFE programs through St. Agatha's Church involving family. It's a St. Agatha Family Empowerment Program. It's been around for, I believe, almost 20 years now out of St. Agatha's as well. So that community does have its challenges, so it's an ongoing process. I think it's improving. There's some new development in the area. But one thing I wanted to share with you, Father Greg, was that some police statistics say that 3 o'clock is the most dangerous hour in the United States, and that's when schools let out.
Oh, that's interesting. I have not heard that. That is what an incredible comment.
So, I think poverty, these kids, I mean, just because they're poor doesn't mean they shouldn't have a safe opportunity to learn and to improve their lives and break that cycle.
And to break that whole cycle. Getting back, you talk about this Justice Day 2010. The recipients of the grants, you said there were 20 of them, they will all be present on Saturday, October 2nd?
Yes, it'll be a great opportunity for the Catholics of Chicago to learn where their contributions are going, to learn about all the great initiatives out there that are they're working for human dignity, life, and justice.
Ray, before we go to the break, tell us a little bit of the history of the CCHD.
Well, the CCHD started 40 years ago, thanks to the efforts of Bishop Mike Dempsey. And we were able to take charity beyond charity for the poor and engage people in their own solutions through self-empowerment programs. And the CCHD has been going strong, like I said, for 40 years. This year we honored Father James Moriarty, who was the director from about 1972 till about 1982, and he did a wonderful job. And we're looking back at some of the types of programs that were funding at that time and trying to go back to the roots of the CCHD here in Chicago with this year's funding.
Is that the Father Jim Moriarty ordained, I think, back 1951, class of 51? He's a great priest. There's Diocese of Chicago. We're going to break here
Were you there at the ordination, Greg?
Wasn't even quite bored yet. I was 2 years away, Gratz, but thank you for sharing that. You're listening to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sachs, along with Gratz and Markeski, who is the Director of Lay Ministry Formation at Mundelein Seminary. Our number, 312-255-8408. And notice, Gratz, that Michael May was eating breakfast during the first segment. Michael, did you bring some for everybody? No, he didn't. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this break. We'll be right back.
Despite medical advancements, prevention, research, and groundbreaking treatment opportunities, the ongoing impact of the global HIV/AIDS pandemic continues to be staggering. Please join or support Catholic Charities this year on Saturday, October 2nd in Grant Park at the AIDS Run Walk. 100% of the funds raised by Team Catholic Charities are returned to Catholic Charities in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call 312-655-7322 or visit www.catholiccharities.net.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with the anchor, Father Greg Sakowicz, pastor of St. Mary Parish. Thank you for spending this part of your Friday morning with us. Thank God it's today. Thank God the weekend is coming, so we hope that you're gearing up. Work hard today so you can enjoy the weekend and not have anything hanging over your head. We'd like to welcome to the program now Mr. Paul Simoneau, who is from the Peace and Justice Office of the Diocese of Knoxville, Tennessee. Welcome, Paul.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
All I had is that you're from the office. Are you the director?
I am.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about, you're the keynoter, and the keynoter always sort of sets the tone and, you know, articulates the big issues. What are you planning to talk about at this Justice Day here in Chicago?
Well, something that I feel is very important and has been very much the point that I have used in my own ministry here within the diocese as the Director of Justice and Peace is something that I think really bears always continual emphasizing, and that's that the Catholic social teaching is not a program, but a person. It's Christ Jesus. And the one thing that I seized on and that I continually emphasize and which will be the basis for my opportunity to share some reflections and thoughts on the social teachings is are the words that John Paul II spoke in 1987 when he was visiting the United States. He was in Louisiana. And he said, "The world needs more than just social reformers. It needs saints." Mm-hmm. And so that's the very, very basis of my remarks. And what is a saint? What is it that distinguishes a saint from a humanitarian? And the way that I see it is that you know, a saint is one whose works are divine works of human hands.
That's very good.
I love that approach, I think it works a whole lot better. I mean, so often people who are focused on justice ministry, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but they tend to go through a litany of all the ills and all the things that we're not doing or all the things we're doing wrong. And some people will respond to that. Others will become defensive and just kind of shut down. But I think when you come at it from where you just mentioned, that it's not a program, it's a person. It's Christ. Christ is justice. Well, then you realize if you want to belong to Christ, you have to do some things.
Which is way beyond the program.
Yeah. And then you don't have to give people the whole list because chances are they're probably going to start to figure out what to do.
But always find, go ahead, Paul.
Oh no, I'm sorry. You know, and it's interesting because you know, I always check the remarks of the Pope and follow Zenit News and others that keep us up to date with things that the Holy Father states and puts out. And just last week, he said in an address concerning St. Clair of Assisi, he said that it's the saints who change the world for the better. They transform it in a lasting way, injecting in it energies that only love inspired by the gospel can arouse. The saints are the great benefactors of humanity. And so, you know, to me, it really comes down to that universal call to holiness and to become saints.
And I think, Steve, also when we talk saints, you know, for our listeners to know, saints means they are also sinners, mm-hmm. which is all of us. So I'm convinced there are saints in our midst walking in our communities today. They're not just men and women of the past, but also as saint, they are also sinner. But because God bends to touch us first, so it's not always just my moving toward God, but it's always God running after us. So I really like that image about the saint. Ray, you're still with us here from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Yep. Respond to some of the comments just made by Paul.
Well, I think Paul's got a great approach because our flyer that people can actually look at, the Archdiocesan homepage, it's a crucifix. Right in the middle, the crucifix makes a T for justice. And what my thinking was when I asked Paul to be the speaker was, there's no more greater act of justice than Christ dying on the cross for all of us. And that's why we wanted to put it right in the middle of that flyer and make that logo and have people look at it. And it looks like a typical organizing, labor, justice flyer, except it's got Jesus Christ in the middle of it. And I think that we have to keep evangelizing that point. And yeah, you're right about us being saints and sinners. And we have to be in communion with Christ to see the countenance and beauty of Christ in all of our brothers and sisters whom we're trying to help.
You know, talking about saints, I think a lot of times we tend to think that being a saint, and I'm glad you're going to talk about this, so I hope, I don't want to try to anticipate what you're going to say, but I'm trying to guess what you might be talking about, is it's not about being skewered over a hot pit, you know, being martyred in some dramatic way. Usually that universal call to holiness, the sanctity, results from the little things we do in everyday life. It's exactly what St. Teresa of Lisieux said. You know, it's the little stuff. It's when you don't gossip, though I'm biting my tongue.
Patience.
I do plenty of that. It's when you're patient. It's when you're forgiving. That's what constitutes a saint, and when you respond to the needs of others. So I think I just read something this week. I think it was Padre Pio who said that, you know, the Christian life is basically a constant struggle to overcome our selfishness.
Yep. And I think the other thing is, what I find is that when you're talking justice, if we talk distributive justice, I always find that so easy to get my hands around, because distributive justice means we collect food, we collect clothing, we take up a second collection and give it to this group or that group. So distributive justice is easy to put our arms around because it's a gathering of what I have and from others to give to those with less. Sometimes with what you deal with, both Ray and Paul, is the whole area of social justice and, of course, peace and justice, which sometimes it's almost like tackling fog. How do you put your arms around it? Because now you're changing social structures. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because that whole distribute. Go ahead.
And it's something, if I could say something, it's not just throwing money at a problem. It's involving yourself, looking at the human face. Because there's a lot of people, Catholics, that don't understand what social justice is.
Right.
People often say social justice equals socialism. And I think our goal with this Justice Day, an ongoing goal, is to educate people truly what we're called to do as Catholics, and say we're called to be in union and solidarity with the poor and help them. And oftentimes people's relationships with the poor end with writing a check and putting it in an envelope and mailing it off, and that's it. There's no human contact. So this is a great opportunity for any of the doubting Thomases out there that don't understand Catholic social teaching to come face-to-face with these great organizations.
Because I know the grants that you distribute, Ray, it's really to get at the heart of social justice, changing the very structures of how we deal with situations. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 9:50 a.m. The time is now coming up on 9:20 on this cloudy, drizzly Friday morning in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi, and our guests are Paul Simoneau and Ray Flores, both by phone. Our number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
faith, family, future. Be part of the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics. Hello, I'm Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Archdiocese of Chicago Office for Black Catholics.
And I'm Devin Jones, one of the hosts of the radio program God's Praises Tell. We hope you can join us during the last week in October for this historic celebration.
There will be an opening mass celebrated by Bishop Joseph Perry at St. Albie Church on Sunday afternoon, October 24th. During the week, there will be two revivals and even a youth and young adult evening, all featuring inspirational music and speakers.
And Cardinal Francis George will celebrate the closing mass on Sunday, October 31st at St. Jude the Apostle Church in South Holland. Go to www.blackcatholicchicago.org for the full schedule of events.
That's www.blackcatholicchicago.org. Come, help us celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. We're glad to be with you, and we're grateful that you're with us. We're talking this morning about upcoming Justice Day 2010, which will be on Saturday, October the 2nd. And we are speaking to one of the organizers, Ray Flores, and with the keynote speaker, Paul Simoneau, from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Paul, are you a Tennessee Titan fan?
Well, I'm kind of a migrant worker in a sense that I've not been a. I've lived in 9 different states and in Washington D.C. and 3 foreign countries in
wow.
the last 30 years, and so I come from New Hampshire originally, and I'm more or less a Patriots fan. But
interesting.
But I basically adapt to my local audience in many ways, and so the Titans are.
You know what they say: when in Rome.
I like that. That's a good comment.
Well, you know, I know that peace and justice work is not the easiest work to do. There's a university here in Chicago that recently created a social justice master's degree program, and it's going great. I mean, their numbers are wonderful, which surprised the heck out of me, because when I started teaching at that level back in the late 70s, early 80s, if you put justice in the title of any course, it was a guarantee that nobody would sign up for it. So tell us a little bit about what you find is most challenging in the work that you're doing.
The most challenging thing that we find in our work, sorry, there's a fire engine driving by, is that
I thought it was your car.
No, it's not the car on fire. It's people just don't understand our obligation. You have really passionate people on what I hate to say, you know, it's a division, I think, right now. You have the very hardcore respect life types that may not be so understanding of the immigrant issues, and then you have the social justice types that sometimes don't see the respect life issues as social justice issues, but a lot of these abortion mills are setting shop up in a lot of these communities of color, low-income communities, and creating all sorts of havoc, diminishing the value of life on every level, not just through abortions, but through the shootings and the gangs and all, and the drug dealing and the liquor stores and the corners. It all ties in. And I think what we're trying to do at the Campaign for Human Development is bridge the divisions together and say, look, there's a place for all of us at the table, and we need to be there. We're obligated to be there.
Amen. Why can't we just support each other? You know, I've always realized there's certain issues I don't get passionate about, and sometimes I feel guilty about it. But then I realize there are others that I do get passionate about that some other people don't. So I think, okay, I'm covering one little part of the puzzle here. Other people cover other parts. And like you say, we need everybody to do it. So,
but to sit at the same table. Paul, what do you find is the most challenging in the work you do down in Knoxville, the whole area of peace and justice?
It's a great question. And maybe if I could first start by just adding to what Ray just said. You know, the way that I've looked at this and the way that I promote it is that our work of justice is also a triptych. You know, basically that Greek word that literally means trifold. You know, it's a work, and that's an artistic work that consists of like three interconnected icons or paintings, but that are meant to be viewed as a single image. And when we deal with the human person, you know, Scripture provides us a particular triptych of the human person, and that's the triptych of the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner. And who are our new widow, orphans, and foreigners today? But the new widows are those single mothers or married women whose husbands or boyfriends have abandoned their responsibility to them and the life that they helped conceive. And that life that they helped conceive, those are the new orphans in our world. So the new widow and the new orphans are very much around us. And then you have the foreigner. You know, that's the other person of that triptych of the human person that we can ignore, definitely. And that's sad when it happens, when I have people that are totally 100% pro-life committed, but then they in turn have a lack of compassion towards the migrant, documented or undocumented. You know, that it saddens me because the whole meaning of the human person is tremendously impoverished if we leave out one of those persons in that triptych, because it's always got to be viewed as one image. And the same with the social teachings. When we talk about solidarity and dignity, but we don't talk about subsidiarity, we impoverish the whole understanding of the social teachings. That is also a triptych of justice. Dignity, solidarity, subsidiarity. You minimize one to the detriment of the others.
That's very good. In fact, the thought you hit me with, Paul, is that, you know, when you think about it, here in the United States, we are an immigrant church.
Yes.
For all of us, I don't care what background we come from, there was a start here. And in fact, in Graz, you came here as a child from Italy, because you were born in Italy, correct?
I came over when I was 8 years old.
And so yourself, like for me, I am second generation here in the U.S., mom and dad, first generation grandparents came from Poland. So all of us, I don't care what nationality, we are an immigrant church. But I think, Paul, you beautifully summarized the widow, the orphan, the foreigner. I like your images that way.
It's very powerful. And, you know, I think we tend to think that if it was the traditional notion of widow or traditional notion of orphan, we wouldn't have a problem with it. But when we look at Scripture, it was those traditional ones who were being ignored. You know, and God was saying, you're ignoring my weak ones, my most vulnerable ones. And I think that's a great connection that you're making with the new widows and the new orphans, that we can't neglect them either.
You know, before we close, Ray, please give us, again, I know it's Saturday, October 2nd, at Our Lady of Sorrows Basilica for Justice Day 2010. Give us a phone number people can call to learn more about it or to register.
Yes, it's we're going to provide lunch. It's a free event. What a better way to spend your Saturday. Our Lady of Sorrows Basilica is at 3121 West Jackson Boulevard. Lots of parking, easy to get to on public transportation. And you can call 312-534-3894.
That number once again, Ray.
312-534-3894.
And what about a web?
And the website, is www.archchicago.org. That's our archdiocesan website. And then right-hand side, you'll see the banner, Justice Day. You can't miss it. People click on that, and it'll give you a flyer. Download it. Pass it to your friends at church this weekend. And I think, you know, people are going to learn a lot. It's a great opportunity, and I hope a lot of people come out.
And Our Lady of Sorrows is one of the most beautiful churches in the whole Archdiocese.
It is. It's a gorgeous church. I want to thank in a very special way the first half hour Ray Flores, the director of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, and who will be leading Justice Day 2010. Also want to thank all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee, Paul Simoneau, the director of the Office of Peace and Justice. Paul, our prayers are with you as you do the keynote at the Justice Day 2010. A week from Saturday, so blessings upon the both of you. Ray, I hope you get your car back soon and the plug all fixed and ready to go. Our number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. That song means only one thing.
What does it mean, Greg?
It means we have Joyce DiRiga with us, who joined us by phone with the latest edition of the Catholic New World, and Joyce is the editor. Joyce, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. We have to have you on two times a day. I love this music. So what's happening in the latest issue of the Catholic New World? Crank it up there, Michael.
This issue, our center spread is about, we followed a group of local Catholics. They went down with Bishop Perry to Quincy, Illinois, and then to Brush Creek, Missouri, to see the sites of Augustus Tolton's early life. It was really fascinating. They went and visited where he was baptized, where his parents were married in Brush Creek, the part of the Mississippi where it was believed that his mother carried him and his siblings across to freedom in the state of Illinois, and then the sites in Quincy where he's buried and other things. So it's really neat, you know,
for
to see the early life.
Father Augustus Tolton is the first full-blooded African-American priest in the United States. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And of descent of slavery. Like, he was the first one that was...
And his cause for canonization is being promoted by the Archdiocese.
Mm-hmm. He's up for sainthood.
Yeah.
Yes. So maybe we'll have a saint from Chicago someday.
Wouldn't that be cool?
And then we also have...
Besides the Italian Mother Cabrini.
Right. Sorry.
Graz had to get that in there, Joyce. But what do you expect from Graz?
We also have the Cardinal writing about marriage. And in light of there was just a 50th wedding anniversary mass. Out at St. John Brabo at the Office for Family Ministry sponsored. So we have some coverage of that and some advice from the golden anniversary couples about how to stay married that long, which is always fun. And then we have Mother Teresa's stamp. I don't know if you all know that the post office released a 44-cent stamp in honor of her 100th birthday. So it was unveiled locally here at the Missionaries of Charity soup kitchen over on the west side. So
when did that stamp come out, Joyce?
It's out now. Hmm. It came out about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. The thing is, I remember as a child I was a stamp collector. I would always go to the post office and get a little plate block for, believe it or not, it was 20 cents, was 5 cents a stamp in those days. No comments there, Michael. And so I didn't realize it was a Mother Teresa 44-cent stamp. That's outstanding. That's terrific.
Yeah. And I think they're going to be available till about January, and it's a limited edition. So, and you can get it at the post office or at USPS.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the two-page spread on Father Greg's installation as the pastor of St. Mary?
Yeah.
No.
What about that?
No, I'm very delighted and happy and be a
He's
great
being
celebration.
He's being installed this Sunday.
At St. Mary's with Bishop Frank Kane.
Yeah.
It should be a great celebration. So what else is happening in the Catholic New World there, Joyce?
Well, we're working on our next issue coming up, and we've got our second Jubilarian issue of the year, and this is priests and religious priests, not diocesan priests. We do that at a separate time. But women and men religious who are celebrating 25 years or 50 years in religious life.
Is there anybody celebrating 75?
That we did in the last issue. We had and that's actually going to be in this issue. There's the oldest priest in the Archdiocese, and you can read the next issue to find out who he is. He's going to turn 100 in October.
Oh.
So he actually celebrated 75 this year.
Boy, his name is on the tip of my tongue. How about sports for 200? I'm just drawing a blank. Well, I want to thank you very much, Joyce DeRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World, for joining us here on the radio program on Catholic Community Faith. The time is 9:36. Joyce, have a great weekend, and keep up the great work you do for the Catholic New World. And Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, here on Relevant Radio 950, our phone number, 312-255-8408. And Michael Kikini blasting that song. It's upbeat on a Friday morning on this cloudy day here in Chicago. And again, welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. And we're going to change gears here. We have with us on the phone Father Larry Dunn, the great pastor of St. Patrick Church up in Lake Forest, and also by phone Jim Bizzard, the Centennial Committee member and historical researcher. Why? Because St. Patrick Church in Lake Forest will be celebrating the 100th anniversary of its old church located at 991 South Waukegan Road in Lake Forest. The church has a very interesting and colorful history. And I'm going to read this before we get Father Dunn and Jim on the phone. St. Patrick Church is one of the oldest Roman Catholic parishes in Lake County. It is located in an area settled by Irish families and workers on the canals of Chicago. The earliest name for this area was Meehan's Settlement, later known as Everett, and finally West Lake Forest. In 1840, that's 170 years ago, two ships collided in Lake Michigan, resulting in the death of many Catholic seamen. These men were buried in land donated by the Yore family that is today's St. Patrick Cemetery. Didn't know that. In 1844, the first church, a 40-foot by 30-foot log cabin, was built on the cemetery grounds, and parishioners had their first formal place of worship space. So on that note, Father Larry Dunn and Jim Bizzard, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is tremendous. Well, Larry, you have been pastor at St. Patrick since what, 2004?
2004, July 1st.
July 1st. And maybe Jim, tell us what's happening regarding the whole celebration, which I think is happening the weekend of October 2nd and 3rd. Tell us more about it.
We're actually having a number of events. The first one will be on Saturday, October 2nd, after the 5 o'clock Mass in the afternoon. It will be in a cocktail party and reception, and be held here in the Parish Center. The Parish Center, by the way, has its own interesting history. It's this particular one is the third version of a Parish Center. That will be for adults, and then the next day after a special celebratory Mass at 10 o'clock, we'll have an ice cream social for the younger folks, and ice cream and games, and we've spent some time looking into what kind of games were played in 1910 and how do they stack up against today. So some of our volunteers are organizing that, and that should go on for a couple hours in the afternoon.
I have to ask, Jim, what are some of the games they played back in 1910? I don't remember. I don't think Graz does either.
Well, a lot of physical games. Hoop rolling was one.
I was going to say that one.
Hoop rolling?
And, Of course, these days they don't make hoops anymore, but turns out the hula hoop works just fine. So we're going to have one area cordoned off where the kids can race hula hoops down by hand, pushing them down a stretch and then around a cone and back again and see who's most adept at it. Another of the games that we're going to have is a tug of war, the old-fashioned rope tug. And let's see, boy, at the moment it escapes me. Father Dunn, you recall some of the others?
I'm not sure if hopscotch, goes down that far, but there's also the three-legged race.
We've had a really interesting time digging into what they really did back then, and of course a lot of them are gone by the way. You don't see much of jacks or that sort of thing anymore, but...
No, now you're going to have to bring out some hand.
Well, I do.
Devices.
I do know one game they played in 1910, being a baseball card buff, and they used to be lagging for baseball cards with the old tobacco cards, which was 1909 to 1911. They would take their tobacco cards, and because it was popular among the kids, they'd be asking their dads to buy the chewing tobacco, and they'd be lagging for the cards. Go to break here, Gratz.
All right, you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. We're going to take a short break and be right back. Don't go away, please.
What does lagging mean? Would you do, you'd find a spot?
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. Graziano Marcheschi co-hosting with Father Greg Sackowitz. We're delighted to be with you on this chilly Friday morning. Friday morning, which actually is the first real day of
fall,
autumn, because at least it feels like it. Father Larry, you're the current pastor of St. Patrick's. I'm looking at the list of all of the previous pastors, and there seems to be a theme running through them. Let's see if our listeners can pick it out. First pastor was Father Thomas Quinn, then Father Ryan, then Father Fielding, Father Daly, Father McCarthy, Father O'Gara, Father McGillicuddy, Father O'Donnell, Father McNulty, and then Father Dunn.
But they all start with Father.
Oh, there you go. I knew something.
Nothing gets by me.
It's an unbroken line, isn't it?
It's an unbroken line. Is this a rule? Greg is on the placement
board. I was on the board, no.
Is this a rule for St. Patrick's?
I haven't seen anything on that, but it seems to be, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Larry, in the 6 years you've been there, and you're one of the great priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago, what have you found in the work, like what do you find the most rewarding you do presently at St. Patrick?
I think it's seeing people more and more involved, reacting to some of the certainly adults, some of the formation programs, we've brought in some very, very good people. And we're just implementing a program called Growing the Engaged Parish, which St. Joseph in Libertyville has begun. That's an exciting program, lots of work there. But I think it's just seeing people involved more in sort of a collaborative sense in the parish. It's really been very heartwarming to see that. That's kind of what I would say. I think people enjoy belonging and being part of this parish.
Talk a little bit about that engaged parish concept. I know it's a concept that comes out of a book. Someone had shared it with me, but I don't remember the details too well. So can you tell us what it means to become an engaged parish?
Basically, there's a couple parts to it, but basically it's through studies by the Gallup organization, people take an assessment of their gifts and talents and strengths, and they kind of find out what they're really good at, and basically then trying to get those folks involved in areas in the parish, you know, where their talents and strengths, and talents are really strengths, which are developed, to get them involved there. But it also is an instrument, you know, which we can start to plan for the future, so it's a visioning portion. And there's a bit of excitement because there's also a facet here for the young people, teenagers especially. What are their talents and their strengths, which is a very positive thing at that particular time of life for young people to know and to act on. So there's a number of different facets and lines to it, but it's basically kind of a self-revelation, and then how do I live this out as far as stewardship?
Yeah, it's very interesting, Jim, that just listening to your pastor, Father Larry Dunn, talk about this program, which really, you know, with that whole sense of by our baptism we are called to serve, empower the laity in terms of, you know, what are our gifts and our ministry. But give us some of the historical perspective of St. Patrick Church up in Lake Forest. You're going, you have a tremendous 100-year tradition and history. Give us some of that history in a nutshell. Could I hear that you are the historical researcher for the St. Patrick Faith Community?
Well, I drew that straw, so I guess I'm on. Yeah, it's been an interesting thing to delve into it. We only joined this parish about 10 years ago, and having moved back to Lake Forest to be close to our family. And so I was fascinated to find the documents and pictures that we have and be able to make some sense out of them. As you indicated earlier, it is really a strong Irish heritage parish. And this came from the canal workers that you referred to earlier, who came out here after the land had been ceded to the federal government by the Potawatomis. And they cleared land and made farms for themselves, and the men continued to work on the canals in Chicago. They had a number of tough things to deal with. Of course, the shipwreck that you mentioned, and the founding of the cemetery and the first log cabin church there. That quickly was outgrown, and they built a second one. And then in 1853, they built their first brick parish. And that served them well for about 15, 20 years. And it had to be torn down and reconstructed because the foundation wasn't holding up. And no sooner was that done than that church was hit by lightning and destroyed by fire and rebuilt. And after that, about 10 years later, it was hit again by lightning and destroyed by fire.
You're
and
kidding.
That's what led to the decision to move the site to this current old church site on Waukegan Avenue and to build it. And that church has stood there and stood the test of time well. It was renovated thoroughly in 1986 and won a Lake Forest Preservation Award in 1991 for the authenticity of restoration. And it's a charming, small, very warm little church next to our brand new church that was built in the 90s and was there to help us celebrate our 150th anniversary as a parish in 1998. So it's been a long, long story and lots of adversity, but lots of perseverance and support by the families of the parish.
We need to go to a short break, but when we come back, I'd like to ask you about how you use the old church, you know, on an ongoing basis for the life of the parish. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. We're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. The 4th Annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place on Saturday, November 13th at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food by Cafe Bianda, cupcakes by Amy Beck Cake Design, an incredible lineup of silent auction items including a week's stay in the Bahamas, open bar featuring Mad Crack Energy Drink and Svedka Vodka, casino gaming, raffle prizes, and much more. Tickets are only $75 and are on sale now at catholiccharities.net/casino night. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21, so grab your friends and game with us for a great cause. Proceeds will benefit the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, and shelter to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake counties. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. For details, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. The time is exactly 9:52 on this cloudy Friday morning, the first full day of fall here in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Gratia Markeski, and our guests are Father Larry Dunn, the pastor of St. Patrick Church in Lake Forest, and Jim Bizzard, Centennial Committee member and the historian of St. Patrick Catholic Church in Lake Forest.
Father Larry, how does the old church figure in the daily life of the parish?
Basically, everything that would go on in the church, except for the weekend mass. So there's mass every morning. We have baptisms. We have weddings. We have funerals there, and people visit all day long. The interior of the church is quite different than the newer church. It's really more traditional. Cars are in the parking lot all day long, people making a short visit, Eucharistic Holy Hour. We allow Opus Dei to have a morning of reflection once a month for their members, and then also every Thursday evening there's a prayer group centered around Mass, so it's actually used quite a bit.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Larry, who is your oldest parishioner? Do you have any idea? Or oldest, longest-term member of St. Patrick Catholic Church?
I would say that the oldest parishioner we have, I cannot give you her age, and you can understand that. but her name is Velma Murphy, and she's a tradition here. And we have, I believe, one of the oldest, perhaps going back into the 30s, is a man by the name of John Fiore. I think he was baptized here.
It goes back to the 1930s to St. Patrick's.
Yeah. His family goes back a little bit before that, but he was baptized in the parish. And I think John is the longest serving, if you will, member of the parish. But Mrs. Murphy would be chronologically the oldest.
I sometimes think that parishes lose sight of some of their old-timers, and I mean in a very wonderful way. There was a lady at St. Mary of the Woods, right, was pastor for 13 years and was there 18 years. Her name was Mary McGowan, and she just died 3 weeks ago. She was 110 and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
110 and a half, and had been at St. Mary of the Woods for about 30-some years, but just her age was incredible and her mind was sharp. Jim, give us a little bit more of the history of St. Patrick Catholic Church. That, you know, what in all the research you have done, what has really struck you the most in the research?
Oh, I think, as I said, the perseverance of the parish. It's had some tough times in both ways, when economic conditions were lean, and even when the growth was spurting with wild expansion of the number of homes in this part of Lake Forest, which caused its own unique set of things to be dealt with. And I think the perseverance of the parish in dealing with all those. And Father Dunn did, as part of our historical assessment, went back to the 1900s and counted up the numbers of baptisms, confirmations, and marriages. And you see a steady climb in them and then a large spurt, so that a very healthy foundation for the size of the parish that we've got, and lots of commitment from people.
What amazes me is that you look at the city of Chicago, and then you take the suburb Lake Forest, knowing that you're celebrating 100 years of the new of the old church, and that would be people moving up into that area back around 1905, 1910, 1915. I remember when my family moved to Park Ridge in 1955, left Milwaukee Division, the old Polish neighborhood, and went to Park Ridge. People were saying, why are you going to the boondocks, the boonies? And that was Park Ridge in 1955. My mother and father recall that vividly. So I wonder what it was like moving up to the Lake Forest area, let's say about 1910, 1915, that had to be considered like going to another part of the world.
I think you should ask Father Dunn that. He was born and raised right here down the street, and he can tell you more about what it was like.
Larry, are you from Lake Forest?
I am. My home parish.
You're kidding me.
Nope. I went to a school at St. Mary's in Lake Forest, and but I grew up maybe three-quarters of a mile from the church.
I think it's interesting that two of the oldest parishes in the Archdiocese are both named for St. Patrick. Old St. Patrick downtown.
And St. Patrick's in Wadsworth is pretty old, too.
You're right. And the thing is that, well, you know, Larry, as not only the present pastor, but part of your childhood, what changes have you seen? You must have seen many changes in the neighborhood over the years.
Large farms out here and large estates of the wealthy in Chicago. Lake Forest had a lot of large estates because this is where folks with wealth spent the summer. So a lot of open land and forest and that sort of stuff, gravel roads growing up. And I suppose the biggest change is just the homes and the development that has occurred. But, I mean, when I was growing up, if you wanted to go anywhere, you rode your bike, and it could be a long bike ride.
We're going to bring this program to a close, and I like that. I want to thank in a very special way the pastor of St. Patrick Church in Lake Forest, Father Larry Dunn, and the Centennial Committee member and historical researcher, Jim Bizzard, for joining us here as they celebrate 100-year anniversary of its old church located at 991 South Waukegan Road in Lake Forest. Have a great celebration. And Father Larry, you're a wonderful priest. We go back many years. Keep up your great work. And Jim, thank you also for joining us. I also want to thank in a special way co-host Graziano Marcheschi, and special way thanks to our great producer Jim Dish, wonderful engineer Michael May. To all our listeners, have a wonderful weekend. God bless all of you. Go Bears!
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.